Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 94-year-old former prisoner of war, Pascual Reyes of Madera, California. One thing we didn't cover about his time as a prisoner of war was his experience being transported in one of the infamous train cars known as a 40 and 8. It was supposed to fit 40 men or 8 horses. How many prisoners do you think you guys had packed in there?
Oh, I don't know, because he was full. He was full. And guys were sick and wounded and whatever, you know. So I got up to the corner of the cart so I could breathe in a little window that I had out. Because most of those guys were sick, throwing up and all that. They were very in bad shape. And then our own planes came in strafe us. The train stopped, you know, and they took us off. Our airplanes kept strafing us until they seen all the prisoners. Then they stopped. Then they put us back in the corner in a train. And then we kept going then to the prisons.
When those American planes were strafing, did they kill some of the prisoners?
I suppose so, yeah. I think they did. Yeah, because the train had a lot of prisoners. I'm pretty sure that some of them got hurt in the back. There was a tunnel. We were close to that. Some of us got in there.
You went and hid in the train tunnel?
Yeah, we got in the tunnel, and our guards too. But this place came around a couple of times, strafing back and forth until they found out, I guess, that they had to lay off, you know. We were prisoners.
What was the hardest thing for you about being a prisoner?
The hardest thing for me to be a prisoner was that I was a prisoner in the first place and I couldn't move. I escaped twice from my work detail, but I didn't know which way to go. So I got into the work detail, going back. Somebody told me which way to go. But then when I went out again from this work detail, this Puerto Rican went with me. I didn't care for it, and nobody to go with me. And this Puerto Rican, he was in a tree, and this kid seen him. And this so stupid killed the kid. But by that time, I swung out of there and went back straight off, and he went into the work detail. And I was scared then, because they were all police, and the Germans were all over. They found this guy. They killed him. Oh, I said, no, I ain't going to go out no more. I'm liable to get caught and killed, you know.
So you had been out on a work detail and snuck off by yourself? You're all alone?
Yeah.
But because you didn't know which way to go, when you saw that crew again, you joined back up?
Yeah, I went back. They told me which way to go if I wanted to leave. I said, no, I'm not going to leave no more. You know, I'm not going to take no chances like that. Because they get me, I'll be shot right there.
And you knew that because you saw that happen to him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Was there a time where your family didn't know what had happened to you?
Yes. When I got captured, they didn't know for a long time that I had been captured already.
So they probably thought you were dead.
Yeah. The Red Cross let him know. They went over there to the house and let him know that I had been captured.
So while you were in captivity, which was quite a while, if you look at late September to end of April, a little more than 7 months?
Something like that.
That's a long time when you don't know when it's going to end, right? How did you pass the time? How did you remain hopeful in the midst of that kind of situation?
You wouldn't believe it, but I did exercises. This guy and me would shadow box against a wall and do exercise in place, you know. And all the time, every day we did run push-ups. And that's the way I kept busy.
Did you ever have days where you thought, I might not ever get out of here?
Yes. You're there, you know, and you never know what the Germans could do. If they started losing, I figured that they would shoot us, you know, like they shot the rest of some of those guys. We didn't know, you know, for sure what these Germans would do, you know. If they would get revenge or before they would be captured, I figured they would shoot us. And then with those little machine guns, you couldn't escape. I told myself, if there's rifles, I'll take a chance and run the heck out of me. But machine guns, no. No way.
So while you were in the prison camp, you had another bout of malaria?
Yes, I got another heavy malaria. I was sick. I thought I was going to die because I had been, you know, the food wasn't that good. And then you're weak, very weak. There were some British soldiers there, and they kept me going, wetting my lips and giving me a little water because I would get sick if I drink a lot of just a little bit. I would feel okay. And I don't know where the hell they found out those Erbine pills or whatever you call them, those yellow pills, and they gave me some. The malaria started easing off. After that, they gave me another two pills, and before I know it, I didn't have no more malaria. And I could drink a little bit more water. That's the way I went, with a little bit more water every day. That's the way I went until I got Patton came in.
Those fellow prisoners of yours, those British guys, they really did save your life.
Yeah, they did. You know, I looked for their names. I wanted to know their names, and I could never find them. Never. I was in Europe one day, you know, and I was in a train, and I was telling these people. He says, that little town, that village is close to us. Do you know their name? We'll take them for you. But they never did, of course, you know. But they saved my life. They gave me those pills. Those headaches went away. See, you get the chills, and then you get the headaches. You get those headaches very heavy. Then you get really, really hot. I mean, your body can't stand that.
Have you ever had any recurrences of that in the years since the war?
Only one time when I came back after the service. At my house, I was sitting down, and all of a sudden, I started going like that.
You mentioned until Patton came in, and there's famous photographs of Patton in his Jeep coming through the gate at Mooseburg, Stalag 7A. His son-in-law, I think, had been a prisoner there. But what was that like for you, that experience of having months and months of being a prisoner, not knowing freedom, and then to have these Americans, including one of the most famous Americans in the war, and set you free? Tell me about what that time was like.
You see that thing, the General Patton coming in? You know, he's a rough and a bad mouth, everybody. You know. Oh, man, you see him like... He was the greatest in this world. He said, I would say he was my angel, my guardian angel. And the guy came through that camp, and he said, bring out all those Germans out of here, because the Germans were hiding, you know. They had to come out, all of them. Boy, he went around and cut the hell out of them, and he said, you know, he was going to kill each and every one of them. You know, he said he was bad mouth, you know. He got in his Jeep again, you know. Here we go. But I was so, so happy, like something had been lifted off my shoulders. That man was tough, but he was a gentle giant. He was what you call a man, a general. They took us to the airport there, close by. There was an airport, you know, it was hidden, you know. You couldn't see it, but it was there. And the American transport planes came around. Boy, they were good flyers. They'd come around the field, one by one, then another turn, all those planes lined up. Then they took us, they gave us a ride all the way to France. They took us up to the doctors. They had a big building. They had a physical, a shower, a haircut, and I mean that they went through everything in our body. Like I said, they gave us a haircut and a bath, new clothes. Man, I felt like I was a king there. We were back with our people, and they treated us like taps. Then they sent us into the hospital boats, you know, the ones that were going to bring us back. The same thing with those sailors. They had Marines in there and sailors, and they treated us taps. Man, it was good. Good meals all the way, all the steaks you wanted, whatever. But we couldn't eat very much steak. On a kind of stomach. Yeah, we had those shrunken stomach. You had to eat in one line chocolate, all the chocolate you could drink, and eggnog, and that's all. After so many days, they would change you to another line where you could eat a little bit more, a little more heavy. Then you got into a steak line. That was good. When you hit that steak line, that was for it. That was forever.
What was it like to get back to America again after you were a prisoner for so long?
When I seen the Liberty, of Station of Liberty, I cried. I actually cried. Not only me, the rest of the guys.
Don't feel pressured to share anything you're not comfortable sharing. But, you know, we have all these honor flights going to Washington, D.C., taking guys like you to see their memorials for free. You don't want to go.
Well, that was a good memorials and all that. I don't know if the guys enjoy that, but not for me. I did my duty. I did what the government wanted me. I fought hard. I live a hard life, and I feel that I won my place in this world as a soldier. Fought for my freedom and the freedom of others in, for my country. If I was younger, I would fight for my country again. Freedom flies. I hope the guys enjoy all that. But my freedom is here in my home where I enjoy myself and walk around. I have friends, and they asked me what I was in the army and all that. And they asked me if I was scared. Yes, I was scared. Truthfully, I was scared. There's no doubt about it. But I did what I had to do.
I don't want to misinterpret, so correct me if I'm wrong. But I got the impression that maybe the reason you don't want to go to Washington is that it would be really hard to look at your son's name on that wall?
No, I've been there. I've been to the wall. Yeah. I've been to Washington.
What was it like to see Ronnie's name on that wall?
It cracked me up. I did cry. But then I was very proud of him. Very proud of him. I was real glad that my son is up there in that wall, that people can see that what it means. There were 38 guys killed that day, that same day. So I meet some of those people. We meet, my wife and me, meet some of those people.
The families of the others killed that day.
It kind of eases off your pain when you talk with other people. But we've been there.
What do you want people to know? If they go to that wall and they look up, and there's 58,000 names on that wall, but when they see his name there, what do you want them to remember about him?
I want them to know that my son fought the war like everybody else, you know, the Marines. They were very outstanding people because the way they are shown how to do certain things that the Army doesn't show you. And I'm very proud of him. Even if he's dead, I'm very, very proud of him. And the other kids that did that, that's why. And I want the people to know that those names is a human being that was in this world years back. They're gone, but for a reason, for freedom, for the freedom they want, and for the freedom they have, all everybody. That's what I want them to know.
Well, I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for your service to our country and for the price that you helped pay for that freedom. Is there something that you would say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, like I said, my son, I want him to, the people to know why those names are there, because they gave their life for the freedom we have today, not just because they went and fought a war. That's the freedom you have, the freedom we all have, and they shouldn't forget them. They should honor them as much as they can. That's why.
I don't know if anybody can say it any more powerfully than that. Pascual Reyes, an ex-prisoner of war and a Gold Star father, helping us understand once again today on Hometown Heroes that freedom is not free.